There is one that seeketh and judgeth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Have you ever noticed the tendency of children who are left to their own devices playing outdoors almost automatically to organize a little game of hide and go seek? I was watching them do that during choir practice the other night. And when there are adults around, of course, they usually end up on the go seek side, a bit like St. Anthony, who's always in charge of looking for lost things. And as God the Father himself, his Son tells us in today's gospel, est qui quaerat, there is one who seeketh. There's one altar boy who, when he sees me, sometimes considers it to be a cue to inform me most mournfully that he can't find his cassock or his surplice or where something goes. And it's not just children, you know. All of us, children of the kingdom, do not look. We don't look long enough. And of course, sometimes we don't pray to St. Anthony. Well, when it comes to the Word of God, when it comes to the worship of God, his great things, I mean, his glory, these things lie hidden, like gold glistening under the dust in some lost compartment of the pharaohs of Egypt, in the pyramids. Whether it be the Word of God in the Holy Gospel, whether it be the public worship, the sacred liturgy of our Mother, the Church. I think, you know, one of the reasons the Church hides the crucifix and the statues from us under the sad shroud of purple these last days of Lent is that so we will look for Jesus in his passion rather than see past him as we usually do, like children who give a glance into the closet looking right past what they need to find. We always see things, but we don't often recognize them. Hidden in plain sight, they say, don't they? And so today, our statues of our Lord, our Lady, sorrowing, and the saints, the crucifix, are, oh, perhaps a bit like the poor souls in purgatory. They are never too far from us. Some of them may be here, doing their purgatory. And certainly, they are present to us by all sorts of reminders, some anniversary date, a voice, a picture, a saying, a holy card, a face that resembles. But we often don't see them, and thus we don't pray for them, because we're not seeking them. We're looking for something else. Or how easy it is to hear a gospel lightly, to scan it quickly without ever beginning to discover all of the riches which lie within. Now, there is nothing like the passion of our Lord to break open for us this treasure chest of God's holy word, and to break open to the gates of purgatory the passion of Christ. First of all, it convinces us of sin, as our Lord says in today's gospel. When I see my Lord crucified, I see my sins, not my neighbor's, and I see what they have done. But at the same time, as I am convinced, I am cured. They shall look upon him whom they have pierced. Contrition comes, compunction even for my sins. A true prayer to Christ in his passion cures the soul. It cleanses us simply because God tells me again how much he loves me. How much do you love me, Lord? He stretches out his arms on the cross. This much, my child. Finally, the passion of Christ, as we say in the prayer of St. Ignatius, comforts us. And that means, of course, it gives us strength. What a world is here to sit at the Pietà or to kneel with Magdalene at the foot of the cross when you're tired or you're stressed. And one more negative remark is just enough to set you off and to make you lose your peace of mind and put everything of your prayer out of focus. There's nothing like devotion to the passion of Christ to put things aright again. And not only for us, but also for the holy souls. They are convinced of their sins. Remember the story of St. Bruno, the founder of the Carthusian hermits, how he was a famous churchman and professor in Cologne in Germany, and how some fellow churchman and professor of his, a man renowned for his learning, was being buried, and during the office of the dead, they didn't have coffins back then, he was on a sort of a stretcher called a bier in front of the altar. During the office of the dead, he sat up, and he said, "I am accused before the justice of God." And then he lay down again, and the chant continued. And a second time, now towards the Mass, he said, "I am convinced of sin. I am convicted before the justice of God." And the third time at the end, "I am condemned before the justice of God." It is not for us to convince ourselves that so-and-so does not stand in need of our prayers in purgatory. The few who are left who believe it, purgatory, are often the ones who try by their own judgments to empty it before the time. Est qui judicet. There is one who shall judge, and that is our Lord. Enough for us to judge our own faults, to go looking for them someday. Well, of course, they come looking for us most days. But when you find yourself just about to give way to some habit of sin, remember to behave yourself, because where are you? You are surrounded, the scripture says, by a cloud of witnesses. All of these poor souls who are in your life, these peaceful prisoners in their prayer, they elevate us. How could they not? And they'll help us. And you'll help them by the passion of Christ. He alone, this good doctor, brings medicine and healing after death. And most of all, does he? By the power of his passion, the propitiatory sacrifice of Calvary, the Mass. The Mass puts us at the passion of Christ. Today it is true, it is veiled from our eyes. The sacramental signs shroud the reality of that ashen body against the wood and the darkened sky and all of the blood that flows. But remember, the only difference, the Council of Trent, between this Mass and Calvary is that the one and the same sacrifice was then offered in a bloody fashion and today in an unbloody manner. But infinite is its value. It is, of course, again, up to the justice of God to determine how many of these merits will be distributed to us, the living or the dead, for whom we pray. But we do know this, the passion of Christ, his precious blood shed for our redemption, is that inexhaustible source, that ocean of mercy. In virtue of it, we receive every grace we need, even in our own private prayers during the day or during the week. We can and we should offer the blood of Jesus, the only begotten Son, to the Father, to know something of its power. Passion of Christ, strengthen me. Our Lord taught St. Mary Magdalene de Pazzi to do this, and she did in a little prayer about 50 times a day, they say, and each time she saw a large number of sinners converted, a large number of souls released from purgatory. Now, if one saint's quite private prayer could do that, what do you think would be the offering of his blood during the Holy Mass? What is the value of the Mass? It is so easy for us to forget it. We don't see it because it is always before our eyes. The devotion to the Passion of Christ in connection with the poor souls in purgatory touches the Son, Jesus, the God-man. It touches the compassion of his heart when we show him with love, with gratitude, his sacred wounds, and then we show him the poor souls in need. They and we too can escape the penalties which are due to our sins by this prayer, powerful with the Passion of Christ. The quicker a soul is liberated from purgatory, the more glory goes to God. The harvest, which comes in early, is counted a great blessing. And so it is for souls. And you can determine the date when the workers are going out to the fields to gather in an abundant harvest. Last of all, those who worry too much about purgatory, they have some idea of what it is, and perhaps that's the reason why they say, oh, well, she suffered a lot, I'm sure she's in heaven now. Do this, they speak this way, really more with their own interests in mind rather than God's glory. But I seek not my own glory, the Son of God says. Would that could be true for all of us. But our Lord, when we do seek his glory, that's the first thing the Father does. He seeks glory. The second thing, he judges. He will judge us when our time comes, the more gently, because first of all, we sought his glory and not our own. And after all, never forget the peace, the contentment of these holy souls goes far beyond anything you might be able to cultivate at some period of your life, your own little patch of happiness. No, no, there's nothing like it. We can't begin to understand these things. And thus, we pray. Such truths come to us today. Do you know them? They are hidden from us in plain sight. The Holy Gospel, the power of the Mass, the Passion of Christ, and our dear poor souls. Let us seek his glory, just his glory. That's all these next 2 weeks. And how well we and the holy souls will end our Lent. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.